Welcome back to Let's Talk About It with Sons and Daughters. I am your host, Arden Bevere. And today we have a very, very special guest, basically the fifth Bevere brother. I mean, I would say him and his brother, we all grew up together. We used to do Christmas together. We used to go on the Detroit Lions, Detroit Red Wings, everyone. We have Dominic Russo joining us. Dominic, thank you so much for taking some time and joining us today.
Arden, it is an honor, man. So good to be with you today. And you said it right. Definitely a long lost brother. Too many memories to count. An honor to be on your show today and have some fun. This is going to be a blast.
Oh, it will be a blast. I know. I feel like we've always had so many conversations over massive meals of food. I feel like that's the only way that we've connected so much. So I feel like it's weird having conversations just without a bunch of Arabic food right in front of us. So I want to ask you just kind of a couple icebreaker questions, just kind of get people familiar with you. And I know we've spent a lot of time together. And I think the last time that we were in person together was for Peru, One Nation, One Day. Mm. You guys did such an amazing work, where we did such amazing work, all of us collective, because I know we get to, you know, be a part of what you guys are doing there. And I wanted to ask you, what was the craziest story that you had from your time there?
In Peru. Wow. Yeah, there was so many memories from Peru, and you're right. Messenger was a massive part of that entire outreach. I think probably the wildest journey was we had to get hundreds of our missionaries from Lima, the capital city where everybody globally landed. We had about 43 nations represented on our team, 10,000 missionaries from across the world and across Peru. And suddenly some of the Peruvian airlines were grounded for the day. And so we had hundreds of missionaries lined up in the Lima airport with nowhere to go, and they all needed to get to the jungle city of Iquitos. So we called the government and said, your commercial airlines are down. Could you help us? And they mobilized the Air Force, and the Peruvian government lifted our missionaries via government aircraft from the capital to the jungle. I think that was one of the fun highlights and unusual moments in the journey.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, and here's the thing, as you guys will hear with Dom talking, you'll see just amazing, incredible, just God stepping in and Dom and his team just dreaming so massively big. And then God's just being like, just trust me through it. So I love that you've always given such a beautiful example for that. You know, with One Nation, One Day, I want to just, you know, I want you to share a little bit about it. So I would love for you just to kind of maybe tell a little bit about yourself and kind of how God is honestly led you through this journey and what you guys are doing today.
For sure. Well, I'll just say again, super honored to be with you, bro. I definitely have the utmost love, esteem, honor for the entire Bevere clan. And to see how God's using you and Christian is so incredible. And I'm pumped to be on the journey with you. Yeah, I'll just say right out of the gate, one of the things that I uncovered as a teenager and a young adult was that God has habits. There's actually trends and patterns in his behavior. And from Genesis to Revelation, one of the incredible themes of scripture is God loves asking young people to do big things. Whether it was Paul telling Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. And then he says, but instead be an example. And he doesn't say be an example to the kids in kids ministry. He doesn't say be an example to your peers. Instead, he says, Timothy, be an example to all the believers. In other words, let the mothers and the fathers and the elders and the senior leaders look at you, young Timothy, and be inspired and be empowered and be challenged. And so I began to see that I didn't have to wait for decades to step into my calling. I didn't have to wait to my 40s or 50s to do something significant. God actually was challenging me as a college student to begin to step into my destiny. And so at 17 years old in the dorm room at ORU, I was feeling, at Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma, was feeling such a draw to the nations and such a call to ministry and a call to leadership. And I took myself probably slightly too seriously with my with my incredible dedication to learning and growing. And I'll leave it there. But we spent a couple incredible years at ORU getting ready. But I actually launched the organization between my junior and senior years in college. and just said, God, I don't want to have like 10 years of waiting. I'd love to move seamlessly into my destiny. Yeah. And so right after graduating college, launched the ministry. And for the first 5 or 6 years, you know, we were running a copy and paste of everything I'd seen in previous generations, working on a citywide level, doing citywide outreaches. And then the seed of thought began to emerge in our heart. What if we could capture the attention of an entire nation? What if we could speak to an entire nation? What if we could bring the gospel to an entire nation? And at 26 years of age, I found myself in the office of the president of Honduras and just said, Mr. President, there is a scripture in the Bible, Isaiah 66, verse 8. The ancient prophet asks the question, can a nation be saved in a day? And Mr. President, would you partner with us? And could we see this scripture come alive in your nation? Could we together see all of Honduras be healed, be changed, even saved in one day? Yeah. And some of you who had followed our journey would know I asked them for 5 things. I said, would you stand with me on Saturday, July 20, 2013, together from the nation's capital, we'll speak to the country. Would you pass a bill through your government calling One Nation One Day an official national holiday? Would you open up every public high school in the nation for our missions teams to come and do a 1-hour school-wide assembly? Would you open up the ports and borders? And then the 5th question was, would you give us the 18 stadiums in the capital cities of all 18 states for free? And we didn't know what the president was going to say, but he signed a resolution committing to it. And One Nation One Day was off. All 5 of those provisions became law. And we were able to mobilize the largest missions team in history at the time, 2,000 missionaries by chartered 747, filled all 18 stadiums. And an entire nation was impacted in that single moment.
I love that. I remember you telling me or telling that story the first time I remember hearing it. I think it was at Bob Harrison's Increase event. And you had talked about how you walked out of that meeting with your father-in-law and you're like, do you realize what we just did? And your father-in-law is like, do you realize what you just signed up for? And I love that, Dom. And you have walked in this. Like, I love what you said about making a difference while you're young, because I think there's a lot of people that are wanting to make a difference while we're young. But what I have seen so amazing from you is that you have walked in this humility that God has given you, where you're like, God, I'm going to dream a God-sized dream, and I'm going to watch as you fulfill it, not because of my efforts, not because of my striving, but I'm going to walk in the humility that you've graced me with, and I'm going to watch as you walk or as you move through me and as people come alongside me. And so I've so respected you for that, and I think that's absolutely incredible. Like, I mean, who at 26 years old, who would think you're asking 5 things from a president of the nation that are 5 just absolutely incredible out of this world things, and him being able to come alongside you and partner with that to see that dream of God has given you. And so I think, you know, something I would love to ask, and I think a lot of people probably are wondering, is I think a lot of people, you know, they're like, well, I feel like God's given me this God-sized dream, this big dream, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with it. I would love for you maybe to speak into that, of what that process looked like for you.
I love it. I think oftentimes when God gives us a glimpse of our future, it could be intimidating or overwhelming. I look at the pattern in scripture where God told Jeremiah, I've called you to be a voice to the nations. And Jeremiah immediately goes to all the reasons why he can't. He begins to inventory his weaknesses. He says, I'm too young, first and foremost. Then he says, I can't even speak. And I love what God told Jeremiah, and I like to hear his word to Jeremiah for myself personally. He said, Jeremiah, do not say, I am too young. You must go wherever I send you. You must do what I command you. And I hear God saying to a generation, even people watching right now, don't you dare say, I am too young. You must do what I'm putting in your heart. And so if the assignment from God intimidates you, it's one of the signs it's actually from him. Because if our assignment doesn't require God, then he's probably not the one authoring it. He's going to give us an assignment that absolutely, utterly, and completely requires his partnership and his intervention in our lives. Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, the season of preparation is mission critical. We can't skip that. Whether it's Joseph waiting years, the Bible says, until the time for came for God to fulfill Joseph's dream, his character was tested. Or Jesus waiting 30 years for public ministry, or the Apostle Paul spending 9 years in Arabia after his conversion. There is this season of preparing our heart and preparing our life. And I'll just say this, does your preparation match your purpose? Are you living today in preparation for what you feel God's bringing you into? And so I said, Lord, I believe the day is going to come, I'm going to speak to nations. And so that means I'm going to have to start reading a few books. That means I'm going to have to start sitting with global leaders and asking questions. That means I'm going to have to learn what best practices were for those who did global ministry for generations prior to me. And so it's incumbent upon us as young leaders to do the dirty work of preparation. There's nothing fun about it typically, but God blesses and honors that time of digging deep and preparing for what he's called us.
Yeah, I think that's so important, because I think right now, especially this generation, we get things so instantaneous. So we're like, God, when it comes to my purpose, I want instantaneous as well. But, you know, you named it, so many people, you look at Paul, like Paul, when he had that encounter with Jesus, he went to Antioch and he studied in Antioch for years before he began his ministry. So I think that is so important. And God works in such an amazing way. I think in those seasons, you just see that your trust in your humility, everything is just broken down and it's just fully confidence. Everything is put into God. And I think that's so valuable as you step out into God's sized dream, because like you said, if you are doing dreams that are not requiring God, then you're not going to be putting that faith. You're not going to be putting that expectation and that hope in God. And God wants to dream and do it alongside of you. So, I want to ask you, as you're kind of been going through this, what has been one of the most valuable life lessons that you have learned as you've been dreaming with God?
I think this question, I'll piggyback kind of with part one, and things that accelerate your destiny and the season of preparation. I think a lot of our generation skips the principle of coming under authority and remaining in honor under that authority. It's so mission critical. Today, you could have your own website via a social media page. So you could have your Facebook, you could have your Instagram, you could have your Twitter, you can have your Snap, and you can, or your TikTok, and you could literally—
TikTok.
Yeah, you can, TikTok, not Snap. You could literally create your own personal expression and never come under divine authority. And so it's so critical. Every young leader watching, plant themselves deeply in a local church. I think through the pandemic, people got used to watching online and they're like flipping to this speaker this week, that speaker next week.
Yeah.
33% they're saying of Christians may never come back to church. And that's a problem. I think you've got to identify who's the pastor that God's called you to serve with and serve under, and what's the house you're supposed to plant yourself deeply in. And then become accountable, hold yourself accountable to those leaders and stay in honor. If you'll stay under authority and stay in honor, God will accelerate your preparation season. You'll skip seasons. You'll go faster than everybody else. And don't move into the next thing until there's a yes and amen and a blessing from those that are a part of your spiritual covering. So I think that's a pretty critical key. And then like you said about thinking God-sized thoughts, we have to get in the action of thinking big thoughts. So that's why I love young people, even in preparation seasons, even as God's laying out and starting to blueprint your life with glimpses of your future, it's important to think big thoughts. The scripture says, those that know their God shall be strong and do great exploits or do great things. God wants to do things through us that no eye's ever seen, no ear has ever heard, that's never entered into the heart of humanity. I know, like you, Arden, I don't want to do what our parents or previous generations did. We want to boldly step into what no generation has ever stepped in before. We want to release something on planet Earth that humanity has yet to see, that the globe has yet to experience. I want to partner with the limitless God and unleash his glory and his power in my generation. And I want to begin to think thoughts that are worthy of the powerful, amazing, massive, limitless God that we serve. And so I just challenge every young leader, begin to think audacious thoughts, begin to push the limits of your own mindset and mentality, and begin to conceive of what might be possible with the powerful God that we partner with.
I love that. That's so good. Well, Dom, I kind of started thinking about another question as you were talking about that. I think, honestly, you can speak to this and really encourage a lot of people is I know that you guys went through with, I mean, we all went through craziness last year with COVID and everything like that, but especially you guys were planning, you know, One Day LA and with One Day LA, you guys were planning that for the summer and it was going to be absolutely incredible. I know you guys have had to shift and make some changes. And so I want to ask you, what advice would you give someone as they are beginning dreaming with God and then that big just kind of that wall comes up in front of them? They feel extremely discouraged. They feel like, hey, was this even a right move for me to step out in faith and what they should do in that time period?
Yeah, there's never been a single assignment God's given us where all of a sudden, somewhere in the journey, you think it's all going to crumble and fail or it's all going to disintegrate into nothing. And so because we had so many years and so many journeys of walking with God and seeing what looks like everything about to go backwards and south, and then all of a sudden from the ashes, God resurrects it. I think when the pandemic hit, our team was uniquely positioned to walk through that. I think we said, we looked at each other and said, there's no way God brought us this far for One Day LA to die. Mm-hmm. We're not going to give Los Angeles a filtered or edited or reduced version of what it's supposed to be. So let's wait a year. Let's build another year of momentum and let's do something outrageous. And so that was part of it. I think when we see things opposite to what God says, the temptation is to let go and walk away. Yeah. But oftentimes that's the journey. God tells Abraham, you're going to have more kids than you can count. And then his wife's barren for a half a century.
Yeah.
You, if you're Abraham, you're giving up maybe at year 5 or 20 or 30. And yet Abraham says, I refuse to make my life based on what I see. Rather, I'm going to do it on what he said. So as we're standing in LA 4 months before we're supposed to unleash this vision and the city shuts down and the globe shuts down, it was a kind of a dark moment, you know, for a little bit there. But we said, you know what? God didn't bring us this far to make it quit. And and Paul said, being confident in this, that he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. And there are people watching, that's all you have is the beginning of something. And let me tell you something, the very fact that God started is all the evidence you need he's going to finish it, because it is his nature and his character to finish everything he starts.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so that's something we really put our faith in. And we have an outrageous runway for these next several months to July of 2021 for One Day LA. We're calling all the Los Angeles 20,000 team members to give the city of LA the greatest display of love it's ever experienced, 1 million hours of service. And then it looks like we're going to be able to do our stadium outreach as the city's opening. So we're so pumped.
That's absolutely amazing. I love that. And I know my wife and I, we actually were talking about it. We're like, we wanted to be a part of it last year. We hope we could just come out there and be a part of everything that you guys are doing. When we went to Peru with you guys, you know, it was just so amazing going around, seeing the different medical centers that were set up, all the different things that you guys had set, the food, everything that you guys were doing. Is you weren't just hitting on one, you know, one side of, hey, we're just going to reach out from this way. You guys were coming from every single angle. And I think that's what's so crucial. And I love your thought process of going into a city. And I love what you guys do is you guys connect the church and then you connect the church with the government and you come to the government and say, what do you guys need? And I think we've talked about it honestly a lot on this podcast of that idea of unity amongst the believers and how the Bible talks about where there's unity, that's where God commands the spirit. And I've said this a couple of times where I said, you know, honestly, I don't think that you're ever going to see the church leading in society until it becomes the capital C church, where it's not the, you know, hey, there's the one church that's down the road that's doing the amazing work and only them. No, it's a coming together of the body of Christ. That's when we see a city transformed. And I watched as you guys have done such an amazing job of leading that example and seeing that happen. So kind of just as we're going through this, I know that there's a lot of, you know, your heart is for young people. We're both millennials. So, you know, I think we're definitely both still young and in that age range, but I would love for you just to maybe speak to millennials right now and just kind of, or not millennials, but just young people right now that are honestly feeling just really discouraged, feeling really down because of the eventful year that we've gone through. And they feel like they're not even in a position where they can dream with God.
so good. Yeah, it's an I have to look at it this way. God trusted us with this season. Of all the other moments in history, God could have brought us to the planet. He sent us to the earth knowing that this season would emerge, and he believed that we were able to withstand it, and not just withstand it, but flourish in it and through it. And when the world goes through shakings and when the globe faces a crisis, it is an opportunity for the church to emerge like never before. And guess what? This is probably not the last and the worst that we're going to walk through. In these next decades, there will probably be even more severe shaking. The intensity of the challenges will rise. But the Bible says when darkness covers the earth and gross darkness to the people, arise, shine, because the glory of God is going to be seen on the church. Nations are going to come to our light. And so this is an invitation. This entire season of shaking is an invitation to everybody who follows Jesus to shine and to lead. And the climate of this world is not something that we have to set our expectation around. The Bible says Isaac sowed in famine and in the same year reaped a hundredfold. The Bible says that when Paul was in prison, the gospel multiplied. So whether we're in a season of confinement, a season of global recession, a season of crisis or shaking, God says, I can do whatever I want with whoever I want, whenever I want. And I can move through you as a young person, regardless of what's happening in the world around us. So I just challenge and encourage you, don't set your expectation based on the shakings or the crisis. Whether things are going great in the world or difficult in the world, it's irrelevant to what God is inviting us into as we partner with him. We're going to shine. We're going to thrive. We're going to lead regardless of the climate around us. And let's set our expectation based on God's promises more than anything else.
Yeah, I love that. That's so good, Dom. Everything that you've shared has been so amazing, absolutely incredible. I mean, everything from just the understanding of submitting from to authority, and then to, you know, the dreams and the encouragement. So, Dom, thank you so much. I know you guys are busy, and I appreciate you coming on. Just kind of finishing up, I would love just to ask you, we always love to ask people this, but what has been the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Love that. I think one of the things I struggled with when I was younger was seeing some great men and leaders that I know fall personally or morally, and yet they could preach with such power and they could lead such incredible ministries, organizations. And someone I deeply respect turned to me and said, Dominic, I want to tell you something, and I want you to hide this in your heart. The anointing will never keep your personal life in order. Your relationship with God will. And no matter what God does on us or through us, that's a totally separate issue to our personal life. It's our walking with God that's going to keep our personal lives in order. And so regardless of how powerful our ministries are or how significant the fruit is in our life and in our leadership, God says more than anything else, I want you to walk with me in intimacy. And that's what's going to keep our personal lives in straight and on the right track. That's been something that's carried me in a significant way.
Yeah. I think for everyone just listening, that should be the greatest advice you will ever receive in your life. I mean, that is the key. We just actually posted a video on that not too long ago. If you have everything going haywire in your life, look at your relationship with God. Like, that's the most important thing in your life. So Dom, I just want to make sure, I know, you know, we want to make sure that we are coming in and partnering with you guys and getting people out there to One Day LA. So I'd love you just to kind of maybe speak to that, how people can maybe get sign up or help, you know, give to that or just be a part of what you guys are doing out there.
Love it, man. Well, this whole movement is called Love Has No Limits. It's a year-long movement of providing LA the greatest display of love it's ever experienced, and it culminates in an outreach moment called One Day LA this third week of July. So if you're a Southern California local, there's so many aspects of Love Has No Limits that you can be a part of. We're doing a massive foster care and adoption initiative for LA's most vulnerable children. We're eradicating $47 million in medical debt for 22,000 families living in poverty across Southern California. We're doing a massive prison initiative. So there's so many places for you to get involved if you're in Southern California. If you're listening from America or around the world, we invite you to LA for the third week of July. You can go to onedayla.com, register, be a part of the team. We're going to serve for a week, and then we're we're going to celebrate an iconic venue that last day of the week, and we're going to speak to the city and speak to America. It's going to be really, really powerful.
Oh, so exciting. Well, Dom, we'll make sure to put that in the show notes. And then also, I mean, if people want to connect with you directly, how would they do that?
Yeah, you can find me on social. I'm on Instagram at Dominic J. Russo. That's basically where I live on social.
I don't do much else. that's perfect. We'll make sure to put all that in the show notes for you guys. But Dom, thank you so much for jumping on. I appreciate all the wisdom that you've shared. It was honestly amazing and spoke such powerful points. So guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Let's Talk About It with Sons and Daughters. If you guys are interested in joining Dominic and his team out there in LA, I encourage you to check it out. Please make sure to sign up, because we've been a part of two of them, and it has absolutely been incredible what we have seen, and just been so just humbling of what God does in those nations. So I encourage you to check it out. If you guys are new to this podcast, please make sure to leave a like and leave a review. If there's new topics that you guys want us to talk about, or if you want to sign up to become a Sons and Daughters ambassador, you can go to sonsanddaughters.tv. And until next time, this has been Let's Talk About It with Sons and Daughters.